Solitaire and the Carpenters on BBC Radio Leicester. Now, when you think about the future, and let's face it, we often do, don't we? Especially, as I say, I'm going to whinge again about hitting nearly 40. You start to wonder what will happen when you're gone, really. Who will take what you've left behind? Who's going to look after your house? Who's going to look after your assets? Who's going to look after your debts? Who's going to look after you as well if you get to a stage where you need somebody to take care of you in later life? A report from the Solicitors for the Elderly, a national organisation specialising in helping people plan for later life, suggests that 4 in 5 people leave life-changing decisions in the hands of strangers. The report reveals that whilst 39% of people have a will in place, or 44% here in the East Midlands, very few of them manage their affairs after their death. Only 7% have a lasting power of attorney in place to safeguard their wishes in the event they're no longer able to make decisions for themselves due to accidents or illnesses, perhaps like dementia. So, when was the last time you spoke to your family or indeed friends about housing, about assets, about end-of-life care? We're going to talk about it now because Samantha Downs, a solicitor from Dodds Solicitors here in Leicestershire, joins me in the studio. First of all, we must just say hello to your mum, Claire, who's a big Carpenters fan. Who would have loved a bit of solitaire there.
She would.
Thanks for coming in, Samantha. Talk to me, what is this? We hear about power of attorney. I've heard it mentioned several times in like American sitcoms and films. They say, I've got power of attorney, but what exactly is it?
What it is, it's a document that gives somebody of your choosing, can be more than one person, but it gives those people power to deal with all of your financial affairs and assets.
Right.
And it can also give power for them to make all of your health and welfare decisions.
Right. So a power of attorney, would it only come into force if I got to a stage of illness where I was unable to make those decisions myself?
It depends upon how it's drafted.
Oh, right,
so
okay.
We can draft it in such a way that it only applies when you've lost capacity, mm-hmm. but it can be used when you've got capacity. So, for example, I've got a number of clients who they've got capacity, nothing wrong with them mm-hmm. at all, but they're housebound. So they find it difficult to leave the house to do their own banking.
Ah, okay.
So it's quite useful.
Oh, right, okay. So from that
point of view.
My brother, for example, would have access to my bank account, credit cards and that kind of stuff. So,
you've got it. Right. So they could go to the ATM machine and take money out for you.
Right.
Go and spend it.
And that's better to have that, something like that drafted in, as part of your will?
Yes, absolutely.
As opposed to just... Because most people would sit there... Samantha, and they'd think, yeah, that's all right, I trust my brother to go and do that for me. I trust my neighbour to go and do that for me. But what?
Well, the problem is, it's not necessarily whether you trust them. It's what the bank and the building societies are thinking.
Right, okay.
So if they're just going along to the ATM machine with your card, then you know, you may have given them permission. Mm. But if the bank or the building society know about it, they're probably not going to be comfortable, shall we say.
So just to sum up then, power of attorney, it's a document, because you always think power of attorney
yes.
sounds like a person, doesn't it? It sounds like an attorney. You sort of think of it as being a symbol of a person as opposed to a piece of paper. But it's effectively a document where you have stated what you want to happen to you in later life. So it could be, as you say, someone takes control of your finances.
Yes.
It could be if you end up in a state where you're unable to make sort of sound judgments because of your own health, that they could take over there. Does it have any effect when you're dead?
No.
Right.
No. Okay. So as soon as you pass away, the document dies with you, mm-hmm. so to speak. So, and then your will comes into effect.
Right.
So it's important that you have a will and a lasting power of attorney.
It's interesting. A lot of people talk about having a will, don't they?
Yes.
They don't think about this power of attorney, though.
No, they don't. And, I mean, as the figures show, in the East Midlands, 44% of people in the East Midlands have got a will, but 86% don't
have... Is that of all people, do you know?
A lasting power of attorney.
Or people over a certain age? Is that like that would be everybody?
That was based on... They did a YouGov survey, and there was 2,000 people... question.
Don't have
it was a
44%,
mixture, as far
44%
as
do have a will or don't have a will?
44%
do have a will.
I mean, it's, you know, it's still quite low because everybody should have a will.
What is it to do with then? Do you think it's people think, I haven't got much to leave, or what I've left, they can have it? Do we feel a bit like do we undervalue ourselves, do you think?
I think the amount of times I've gone through assets with people and they've thought they're worth less than what they are, and it's not until you start talking about their death in service benefit and their pensions and their house and they think, oh, actually, I am worth more than I realise. Because right. of course, you're thinking about the money in your pocket.
Yeah. Or lack of money in your bank.
And, well, quite, especially at this time of the year.
Don't even go there. Yeah, absolutely.
And lasting powers of attorney in particular, I think a lot of people, they don't want to think about the worst
happening.
Nobody
wants to think about it. No.
Because you don't want to think about having Alzheimer's or dementia. And you certainly don't want to think about your parents, for example, having Alzheimer's or dementia. But the problem is that you just don't know. And I think the best way to think about a lasting power of attorney in particular, because, of course, with a will, it's one of the certain things in life, isn't it? Everybody, unfortunately, is at some point going to die.
Yeah, you can't cheat it, really, can you?
You can't, unfortunately. So you know that that's going to happen, and a will is one of those things that you need. But with a lasting power of attorney, it might not happen. So the best way to look upon a lasting power of attorney, which is what I say to a lot of my clients, is think of it as an insurance policy. So fingers crossed, you'll pay for it, you'll never need it. But the problem is, when you do need it, you're really pleased you've paid for it.
Well, we'll talk about it in more detail in just a minute, because obviously power of attorney, you know, they can make the difference between life and death, because they can make decisions over, again, end-of-life care, or if doctors believe that, you know, the best way is to turn the machine off or whatever. We'll talk about that in more detail, plus the fact if you want to get some information, or indeed you're a bit confused about what power attorney is, or maybe you're just in the process of doing a will, you are of course very welcome to call us here on 0116 251 1049. That's 0116 251 1049, and of course you can tweet me at @JLampon on Twitter as well. We're talking about wills, but most importantly we're talking about having lasting power of attorney. Who have you chosen? More on this story in just a few minutes time. This is Aloe Black, Wake Me Up. My guest in the studio with me, Samantha Downs from Dodds Solicitors in Leicestershire. But in terms of that, but you were saying earlier on during that piece of music, people are aware of wills, even though they might not have necessarily, as we've seen from the figures, signed up to it, but the power of attorney they don't get. So would you tend to traditionally do the two together?
Yes, with every client I see about a will, I always speak to them about lasting powers of attorney.
Right. And are they interested?
They tend to be, yes. What tends to put them off, if I'm honest with you, is the idea of giving up control. So they feel they're giving away some control. And yes, they are giving away a little bit of control.
Not until they're out.
But not.
Not until they can't control themselves.
Yes, quite. Or if they don't want to have to control themselves. Control their own assets.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
Sorry. But it's such an important document, and I think cost puts some people off as well.
Is this what, I mean, a lot of people, you know, you mentioned there about people buying these do-it-yourself wills, you know, the ones you can get off the shelf.
Yes.
And I know, obviously, in your profession, you want people to come to experts such as yourself. And obviously, there's a commercial interest in that, but equally a more of a stable legal aspect in that.
Quite.
Are these off-the-shelf wills documents not as good?
No, if I'm honest with you. There's so many ways of getting it wrong. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen clients and they've tried to do something themselves, and hopefully they come and see you before something goes wrong. And then you can put it right. But quite often something goes wrong and it's harder.
One of our listeners has just called in and says, a little off topic, but my brother has just signed up to get a will with a bank that he felt pressured into getting. The bank has said that they will take 8% of his estate.
Ooh.
Whereas I signed up with a solicitor and I was told that there was a one-off payment. So what's the difference between getting a will with a bank / building society and a solicitor? Well, let's ask a solicitor, Samantha.
Okay. Well, we're often very much cheaper.
It would normally be a one-off payment, wouldn't it, rather than a percentage of your estate, or not?
It depends. There are people that charge by a percentage.
Right. Is that so you can just don't have to pay it, so you don't pay anything till you die, effectively?
Yes. I mean, irrelevant of, as far as I'm aware, apart from banks, etc., and various other non-legal professional firms, they do certain things where you can pay now for the probate to be done in the future.
Right.
But I don't know of any solicitors that do that. We tend to wait until somebody's passed away and then we charge for the work we done.
Right.
We do. But I can't speak for every firm.
No, but you but took a big intake of breath when I said 8%.
Yes, well, it seems awfully large to me.
I've heard of
3%.
Because we don't know what 8% of whatever it is looks like. But even so...
It seems high to me. I've not heard of that much of a percentage. So they
felt pressured into getting this will. I mean, I guess you can get out of it, can't you? I mean, you don't have to. You can have your will with whoever you want.
Of course, you can. Mm. I mean, it depends upon how far down the road to the will being made the gentleman's gone.
Sounds a little bit like you might want to get your brother some legal expert or indeed a financial expert and talk to somebody in the financial industry as well on that one to sort of help them out. But it smells a bit...
Go to Solicitors for the Elderly website and find a...
Give us that website address. Tell us where people can go to find out more about this kind of thing.
It's www.sfe.legal.
So sfe.legal.
On that website you will find there's a box for clients and if you click on there you can then go and find a solicitor and it's got all of the details of
I'm
a full accredited member.
All right,
so they've got all of the details on there of the full accredited members, so we've got more than 3 years experience and we've had to do various exams,
Samantha,
etc.
Good to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed for coming in. Samantha Downs there, a solicitor from Dodds Solicitors here in Leicestershire. You're welcome. News on the way next for midday after M People. One night in heaven, one night in heaven.